almost dictating the cost of things by virtue of its own policy and the international world response to it. And secondly, if there was an agreement, this would be done, but now this has changed. Quite clearly, the international trading relations are not based on apartheid, per se. And yet, and also the dictation by dictating by South Africa of what will be charged on X and Y. That's now the policy space in these countries. Furthermore, the agreements in SAARC are now by consensus. It's a very different issue than dictating to your neighbors. I think a further issue that we need to take account of, which is not that clearly stated, is that for us, our entire life survival does not depend on that revenue per se. It is impacted on, yes. But the reality is the other members, you pull the world run from under them. I mean, this would have a really dramatic negative impact on the economy. There is a heavy reliance on this revenue. You know, that's a reality. So you can't just pull it. You need to work out some sort of arrangement that would have an element of fairness in the way this thing is being conducted. We're not here to destroy other economies. So, hence, I'm alerting you to this here, and I'd like you just to look at what's been written there because it's not in your copy. Do you follow?
Can I make this maybe the observation that I think I can't verify all the users, the fact that you've given them, because I think some originates from before apartheid, that's why it's 100 years old. It was also the issue of obviously transporting stuff over your own soil. And yes, I think it's become a more over-reliance on that revenue as part of, you know, especially countries like Lesotho and Swaziland. But they have also become like naughty children. And especially where, like Swaziland, you know, we've got no control over in terms of what comes via Maputo and Swaziland, Mozambique into Swaziland. In Lesotho's case, it's different because there's no other way by road or by air, actually via South Africa. So somehow, and that's also why I mentioned, you know, the integration. Mm-hmm. Integration is a process. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, without giving exactly what because I don't know yet.
Yeah.
What should be done? Because somehow they are already just like a province of ours. To a large extent, relying on us basically to fund them while the king live in luxury. So there's obviously two sides to the coin there. But it's an issue of very high importance. We have to deal with that because to prevent again. IPA situation. I think that has to a large extent been not resolved, but I mean they've addressed that. But to prevent that, because it can be more damaging. And further on, if we want to have a free trade agreement within SADC and then into, you know, East African and COMESA, you know, some other form of revenue sharing will have to be work out anyway, because if it's free trade, you know, you can't charge certain tariffs, so you can't share it as well.
Honourable Maria, I think that what you're saying is really very pertinent to what we're discussing right here, and this is why it's been worrying me as well. Let me just take Honourable Hajjaj and then come to Honourable Hajjaj. And I'm trying not to avoid overlooking you on the ground of seeing me, so if you put your other hand up when you want to raise it, because I'm not seeing the one here, okay?
Thank you, Chair. I think, Chairperson, this question of SACCO is a difficult one. And I think we need to take the bull by the horns and try and resolve the issues. I think that as a customs union, a limited customs union, so means of various countries in our region, that's 4 out of 14 in the SADC region. We have a free trade agreement in SADC. And I don't see any of the end in the future that will be a customs union, because the whole concept of a regional economic entity is paramount in the development paradigm of Africa. So SACCO, we need to work out modalities how SACCO has to be integrated into the workings of SADC. I don't think we can evade the question any longer, because they're becoming, SACCO, or countries in SACCO, now becoming a law unto themselves, you know, signing agreements without the consent of the rest of the regions. On the one hand, and the other hand, still wanting us to give them disproportionate sums of money to exist. As you said, correctly said, we don't want to make anybody bankrupt, but then everybody must come to the party. They can't eat their cake and still have it. So I think, and I see, unfortunately, I wasn't here at the public hearing, but I think reading through the documents, I think there are many stakeholders that actually believe that we need to do that. So I think we need, it's going to be difficult. I'm not going to say it's easy, but we need to do it. Because if we can't have, if we're talking about COMESA and Niala and even further north or further west, linking up with other economic, regional economic entities, who is do you take them? Take SADU, SACCO, and SADC, or SADC Customs Union, as it should be. So I think this is a decision, not just an economic decision, I think. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Hajjaj. Honorable Khalebe.
Thank you, Comrade. I think that when we dealt with the issue of IPA, we're very clear that the industrial policy must lead the trade policy. So we can see that when coming to the issues of SACCO, we have reached a point whereby our industrial policy is being undermined. It's being undermined by greater countries like the EU itself, because here they have an agreement with Botswana, Lesotho, and Swaziland. In the process, we as a country, we are going to suffer. When coming to the issue of textiles, we are already feeling the pinch as we're speaking now. So I think that the issue of saying renegotiate, I think, is a little bit mild. I think that it must be the issue of review the staff issue. It must be reviewed in its totality, so that the decisions we take now are going to be for the efficient running of our industry. So, Comrade Chair, I think that I'll agree with Honorable Marais, agree with Honorable Hajjaj, that really the time has come now. Let's take the full by force, because it's so bad that a small child will come and point a finger at you when you support him or her day in, day out. I think the time of action is now.
I'm just trying to put this in the context of the trade report. What we would be saying then, and I'm just speaking out loud first, is that we need to review the current terms. Well, this, we need to, you know, this should be reviewed, the current terms of the SACCO, so that we avoid, don't put this all in, so that we avoid the undermining or the potential undermining of our industrial development, as a result of the, it's not just the SACCO, of the international agreements that are being signed or that are being entered into by other members. we need somehow to put the idea that it's not just simply this Osaku arrangement. I'm saying this for everyone, but rather that it is this these broader arrangements with the rest of the world, particularly Europe, that are being entered into, that we believe can and could undermine our industrial development. Are we saying that, or words to that effect? Okay. So I think what we'll do is, you know, we want to try and get to the rest of the document. Let's try and get the researcher just to flesh something out there while Ms. Hurling, Mr. Maslungu does that, while Ms. Hurling moves on with the rest of the document.
Can I just say, I mean, the words, the first part of words, I mean, I don't think that is the right word in the report. You know, earlier South Africa said tariffs on the Osaku. How do we know that? You know, we don't know that. It could have been done, you know. Therefore, the revenue agreement of South Africa is used to compensate the other Osaku members of tariffs. Furthermore, the sanctions imposed, I think we're living on dangerous ground of making certain assumptions. You know, then we must verify those facts. Because I think it's unnecessary things that we say. I mean, what happens during apartheid is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Now, we must now look and see, because I mean, if we must go and verify, you know, what trial drove them, I mean, it's irrelevant. We know that there was a dispensation. Whatever the argument was, whatever the reason is, it's not relevant anymore. So we must look at the relevancy of SACU and, you know, the current dispensation in terms of sharing and obviously controlling or not, and then move forward. All that we know is, in essence, we need a revision of the current SACU trade agreement and terms.
Thank you, Honourable Marie. Honourable Khadiv.
Thank you, Comrade Chairperson. I think that this document is going to last. It might even outlive us all here inside this room. But I think that some other time our children or our grandchildren will ask us a question. Why were you so stupid that you decided to give other countries so much money without getting anything in return? When they read that document, they must be able to see that there was a condition, which is known as apartheid, which made South Africa to be a bully in the region. So in the process, because of being a bully, it had to pay and compensate those people who are around it. I think that one is a fact, that one you cannot deny it. It's a fact that they were a bully, and then being a bully, they had to get a bite-in of those people. So we know very well that Zimbabwe didn't bite-in. That's why they fought it like that. They didn't have a bite-in, so much we able to acknowledge now those bought in for that. So because of that, they have to be compensated. I think that one is actually correct.
Honourable Ambrosini?
I'm trying to be subdued because I'm participating in all the deliberations. I don't want to bring back to things which might have been discussed. I'm not less optimistic than the Honourable Radebe on the future value of this document for posterity, but if I were to make a suggestion, if I can at this late stage, I think that just first a passing mention should be made to the possibility of beginning to move towards a continental free circulation of goods and services as the framework in which this issue will best, will eventually evaporate away. The same way as the Benelux Customs Union evaporated away with the Treaty of Rome in Europe.
I think it's quite pertinent that you're bringing in the Treaty of Rome as an example and so on, and it makes us all realize, you know, these things, treaties, agreements, and this sort of thing, they all have a very long life, you know, for some. And it is important. It is important as to what informs them. Honourable Maria, what I would like to say, I think earlier on, there was never any doubt in the last year or so, we went to annual reports and the rest, in the committee that
You know, SACRU was an instrument of regional integration. That's why we would have liked to have kept. I mean, that's a fact. All of us agreed on that. But what we are saying with the SACRU, perhaps, is that, yes, when it all started off, it has been mentioned by the previous finance minister, Mr. Manuel, mentioned again by the current finance minister, that, you know, South Africa, with respect to SACRU, it is South Africa's infrastructure that supports it on the administration. And over the years, especially in the last 10 years or more, we have been trying to transfer the skills and a lot more of the expertise so that all members of SACRU if you like, contribute more effectively on the capacity side. That's clear. It's been there for several years. On the second issue there, it is the South African Revenue Services, largely, that is doing this collection. That's another fact. You know, this is not, it's there. The third thing, we may wish to say, look, earlier on, the chief instrument of SACRU's inception was indeed regional integration, trying to bring the region together. But over the years, especially, the reality is they were sanctioned. That's the reality. Especially under the apartheid years, when sanctions were imposed, it meant that all members of the customs union, whether or not they had that policy, had to bear the economic consequences of that. You know, that surely is a reality and not needing a verification. That's the reality. But now we are saying, now hang on, that's no longer the reality. It isn't. We really, listen guys, this thing is now by consensus. Now we've all got to come to the party. And we've all got to accept more responsibility. And surely this unequal revenue sharing has got to be reviewed. I mean, you know...
I don't disagree with that at all with what you have said.
Yeah.
But, and you know, I don't also agree with apartheid.
Yeah.
But now to again bring that in, with all due respect, one of the reasons why there was a sharing could have also been because of the reliance of or the position of the SACRU state of not being able to generate their own income. So either being a liability on the whole region, you know, the biggest partner was assisting them. Now, if we're going to go into all those details, you know, then we go to the union as well. Why did the union start it? That is history. And what you have said is quite correct. We don't disagree on that. Find a resolution for that and move forward.
Let me just take the last few words. When I say words, I mean ideas and contributions in the area.
Honourable Kotsi, Honourable Hajjaj, and I just want to make sure I only have to look at one side, is that Honourable Khadebi, and can we then close it? All right, are we agreed?
Sure. On the simple basis that as a country and as a committee, we are re-looking at all our agreements. And this one falls under that because there are lots of agreements that we signed at different times, but we are looking into all those international agreements. And this one falls under that.
Thank you, Honourable
Kotsi.
Honourable
Hajjaj.
Thank you, Chair. I feel the same as Honourable Kotsi here. I think that first sentence is not quite correct. Earlier, South Africa set tariffs on behalf of SACRU. Therefore, the revenue arrangement within SACRU was introduced to compensate the other SACRU members for tariff revenue losses. During apartheid South Africa and the SACRU regime, South Africa benefited, in fact, more than the LNS countries. It was only afterwards that the formula was brought in that skewed the percentage where SACRU member, the LNS countries, received more than what was due to them. So that is not quite correct, that first sentence there, Madam.
I know it's always exciting when one hears one's own thoughts underpinned, but maybe we can just move on to Honorable Khadeli.
Congress Chairperson, really, I think that there's something which we cannot afford to do as a committee. It is to change history. The history must never be suspended. Because that's why, even today, in order for us to be where we are, we must know where we come from. Perhaps the first sentence might be wrong, but the issue of sanctions, apartheid, and all, nothing is correct. We're there, we know it happened, so I don't think that we have to distort that. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, before I comment further, you know, let me just say, welcome and take note of the fact that we have got two more members of economic development with us, the portfolio committee. In particular, Chairperson Matilari Coleman is with us here, and I hope I'm correct, it's the two of you there. The other, it will be the Honourable Tortesi. Thank you very much, and I think it illustrates the importance of us being able to share information so that we can work together in a complementary manner and so on. Now, what I want to propose, because I don't think anyone wants us now to delay and find ourselves delayed on this. And I agree, we agreed. However, I do think we need to come back to it. So I'm making an appeal to all of us sitting here, because we all have strong views on this. And we do need to take a decision at the end, but can we just flag it and move on with the rest of the report? With that, Honourable Maria?
Madam Chair, sure. But I've seen that you have disregarded everything that I've said on that point without mentioning anything. So if I must listen to this, then there's no use being here. Then we must, you know, on that same point, committee's view regarding future SACU. Well, then you must give us the whole document, because we are on 6.1 and we are only looking at a certain portion of that. So where's my input? Because at the bottom is Honourable Tikalana, which was in the other one, was just below mine. So where's mine now?
All right, just a second. Honourable Maria, I haven't taken anything out of yours. In fact, now wait a minute. What has happened, Honourable Maria, is that I asked specifically for your information to be retained under your name. So just a minute while we just resolve this effort. Yes, I think, can we just for a moment leave me to consult with the table? Honourable Maria, I may cross a couple of my own sentences, but I would never, because I don't think I have that prerogative, to simply remove something that you put in for us to consider. I want us to discuss it and then to take a decision. So if it's still here, it is not removed. What I did do was to put forward a proposal to you, which we've now said, let's flag that, we are going to come back to it. I wonder if we're all in agreement now. And let's proceed in good faith on the matter, because so far this committee has worked very constructively on all of the issues. So can we move forward, backwards, to the beginning of the report? Can we do that? I want to quickly take us through on some of the changes I did make. And I want that clear. And these were changes which I indicated at the last committee meeting I would make of a semantic nature in the way we would word things. But it is important that you go quickly through it and agree. I don't need someone on an ideological to say that it is not what we should be having here. So we're just very quickly going to go through simply the introduction. That's all. So that is what I'm talking about. Are we agreed? Right. Paragraph 1. And I'll talk to it as I go. We also all agreed that there was no trade policy. That's why we're getting a trade policy.
Can I just ask, we have received this document, the same document that we've received from Andre yesterday.
The document you received yesterday was the document we all received. These are the changes I made this morning.
That's what I'm doing.
The documents are in the first, in the introduction, that's what I've just said. And the reason they are made is because there are three things here that have to be clear. We are now developing a trade policy. That's what is on the table. We have a strategic framework. We're not changing another policy. And I think that must be very, very clear. The second thing is that in the second paragraph, there's no need to go back too much into recent history. That's the last 5 years. Therefore, we've chopped out three sentences which wanted to dwell on 2007, merely to indicate it was there and you know, that these efforts were pursued, that you had IPAP 1 and IPAP 2. The consultative model is almost all retained as it is with, I think, one semantic change. And you can see that in blue. And you know what that is? It is the word in its engagement with the committee. Over and over again, this committee itself has said from all sides, and the department itself said, that it is not going to have a one-size-fits-all approach to everything. That's it. We're going to identify areas that does need development and attention. Now that is simply called a generic approach as opposed to a sectoral approach. And that is highlighted there. Otherwise it's exactly what you had before. And so in fact is the next. There are no changes to in the light of. So I think the point made is in the first paragraph. Moment, but we'll come back. Honourable Maria, we'll come back to that. So we're flagging that first paragraph, all right? Unless someone in this room, one of the members, is sitting with the one they got in the pigeonhole yesterday. There it is. Sitting, now here it is up here.
you happy to move on, members?
Yes.
Okay. Honourable Moran? Right. Can we move on to the policy context, which is what you've had? All right? And what we've been over, but now you do see certain ones in blue that were added to in the meeting, if you recall. You remember we still had the discussion of ASDISA. Right? There's nothing new there. You've had that all the time, okay? So we're not going to go back again. We went over this in detail. And we added to it. We're at the bottom then, sort of, I hope your document is the same as mine, as we move to page 3. There's green on here. Can I explain the colours to you? The green comes from the researcher and the team, which is what may have been noted on paper to them and which has been put in, which was not immediately put in when you sat there at the last session. And I hope everyone's got a colour copy. All right, can you just underline it then to let you know? The tariffs again, we've been through that at length, but the important part is at the top of 4 when we ask our researcher to look into that for us. And this is what, between him and Ms. Hurling, we have come up with. Can you read that? Do you want to darken that? I think an emerald green would be preferable. No, we can't just be bold. Yeah, just next time, let's have...
I mean, we can see. Yeah, can you all be there? But you've got the princess copy, all right? So
the main thing is to consider that part, because that is what you spoke to, but you didn't actually have the articulation at the last meeting. And let's see if we